My friend Larry McWhorter says that to lead a happy and fulfilled life, there are two rules: do right and surround yourself with good people. Do right and surround yourself with good people. Larry was associate director at the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. for many years. And if you know anything about what's happened in recent days around the Justice Department, you know it's a fun place to work. And Larry helped direct that work for many years, and his rules were do right and surround yourself with good people. Good advice. Researcher Matt Bloom is also looking at how to live a good, fulfilled life. And Matt has identified four factors for well-being. The first is to discover joy daily. What is it that brings joy to your life? What is it that takes you beyond happiness? We can all be happy for a time, but happiness fades. When the happiness fades, the joy is underneath. And Bloom says, what is it that's underneath that daily you can claim is joy? If you're going to live a life of well-being, you've got to have joy in your life. When I think of my grandkids, I immediately feel that depth of joy in here. When I think of Gail having them by herself this past weekend, I really burst with joy. What is it that takes you to a happy place that's more than happy? What is it that fills you with joy? The joy of the Lord is my delight, said the psalmist. What about you? Where is your joy? Secondly, Bloom says that there is a capacity to deal with the not joyful that is also important. If you're going to live a life of well-being, you have to have a capacity to move beyond the mess and the stress. And he calls that resilience. How resilient are you to living a life that God has put before us? He would say to us, one way to be resilient is to claim that joy. So on those days when things aren't going quite so well, claiming the joy of that. One of the ways I claim the joy is by flexing my hands. I learned this little trick when I was in graduate school. As I began to talk about things in my life that gave me joy, my grandmother was one of those people in my life. And my grandmother was a ray of sunshine for me. That was the metaphor that I came up with. And the way to represent that was the pulsing of the sun's rays. So before I speak every time, and sometimes when I'm having a bad day, I just flex my hands and remember the joy of my grandmother. What about you? What helps you move beyond the mess and stress back to the joy of life? Bloom also says that self-integrity is important if you're going to live a life of well-being. That self-integrity that is not imposed upon you, or integrity that is not ordered upon you, but integrity that you claim for your own self. You do what is supposed to be done because you know it's supposed to be done. You do the right thing, as my friend Larry would say. You do right regardless. And you do right because you know in your soul it is the right thing to do, regardless of what may come of the consequences. You know in your soul it is the right thing to do. And you are self-aware and you are humble in the way that you lead that. And then Bloom says, lastly, thriving. That you move from striving to thriving. That you have a sense of calling and a sense of purpose, and you live out that sense of calling every day. Come heaven or high water, you are going to get done what God has called you to do. And you are going to be who God has called you to be. And if all those things are working together, then you are living a life of well-being. Do right. Surround yourself with good people. Paul calls the Philippians to that same challenge of well-being. Is there any encouragement belonging to Christ? Of course. Of course. We encourage one another in Christ, and we find comfort in his love, and we fellowship together in the Spirit. We fellowship together in the Spirit of God's goodness and grace. You all have a wonderful way of encouraging people. You are open and you fellowship and you lovingly share in the Spirit. One of you said to me a couple of weeks ago, "You are amazing." Amen Corner missed it. I prompted you ahead of time. You knew that was coming. "You are amazing." And I said, "Well, yes, I am." And I said, "Why? What makes you say that?" "Well, for a fat guy, you don't sweat much." "Really? How do you encourage one another? How do you share the love of Christ with one another? How do you bring comfort to one another?" All of these things, Paul says to the church at Philippi, love one another as Christ has loved. Imitate Christ. Have hearts that are tender and compassionate. Be of one mind and of one purpose. All of these things. Basically, Paul is saying to the church at Philippi, be like Jesus. And that was a hard thing for them to comprehend. We know the church at Philippi was a Baptist church. There were at least 3 divisions in the congregation. Weren't but 10 or 12 people. And those 10 or 12 people couldn't get along. Really? Paul's writing from his deathbed in prison in Rome, and he says, "Don't make me come back down there." You ever heard those words before? "Don't make me come back down there. Y'all know how to do right. Y'all are good people. Quit this fussing. Quit this bickering. Quit this negativity. And live into the fullness that is Jesus the Christ. Be imitators of Jesus," Paul says. "Do right. Surround yourself with good people. Be like Jesus." And the Philippians said, "What? There's no way. We can't be like Jesus." And when I say to you, be like Jesus, you think the same thing. "What? That's impossible. Give us a goal we can reach. But don't bring Jesus into this, for goodness sake." But being like Jesus was simple. It was then, it is now, the same words. Love God, love your neighbor. Love God, love your neighbor. Simple, but yet so hard. We all love God. You heard the offertory prayer. We give because we love, and we do. But do we love God enough? Do we love God deep in our soul? Do we love God enough to mingle God with that joy that we claim we have? Love God, love neighbor. Do right, surround yourself with good people. Why can't we do that? Why can't we love God, and why can't we love our neighbor? Well, there's another little line in there. Jesus says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Some of us don't love ourselves. Some of us are carrying baggage from years and years and years ago that we need to put down and be done with. We're always in the business of comparing ourselves. We're always in the business of comparing ourselves. I judge my reality by the fantasy that I put on you. If only I could be David Ramseur. He's got it made. Got his own church pew. Beautiful wife, lovely children, great job. Man, he's got it made. How did he get so lucky? I'm all the time comparing myself to other people. I take my reality and I put my fantasy with that and compare. Anytime you start to say, if only, stop. Anytime you start to say, if only, stop. Those comparisons do nothing to build up the body. Those comparisons do nothing to build up you in the body of Christ. So love yourself. And then love your neighbor. But you have to know your neighbor before you can love them. Daniel and Christy lived across from us in Atlanta. They were the young, fast and loose hipsters in our neighborhood. She was tall and slim, beautiful, cascading brown hair. He was tall and fit and trim. He drove a big old red pickup truck. She drove a red Corvette. Man, I said, if only, a lot about those two. They live right across the street from us. We would watch them come and go, and I would say, Gail, this young couple driving a red Corvette, what in the world are we doing wrong? If only. One day I saw Daniel outside. He had a rocking chair in the back of his truck, and he was trying to unload it, and he was struggling with it. So I went outside. I said, hey, I'm Bo. I live over here across from you. Need some help? Well, yes, I do. And I helped him pick up that, it's actually a rocker recliner. We picked that rocker recliner up and took it upstairs. Christy was semi-great with child at the time. You know what? They didn't have any furniture in their downstairs. I'd been over there if only this, if only that. They didn't have a stick of furniture in their downstairs. Nice house, great cars, no furniture. Well, that would never work at my house. I don't know about yours. Daniel and Christy and Gail and I became fast friends, and we would often meet in the street at the end of a day and talk about life. They were scared to death to be mom and dad. They would talk to us about it. They would go, and if only we can get our kids grown up. They were judging themselves against us while we were judging ourselves against them. I wouldn't have minded driving that vet, though. We have to break the cycle of culture that continues to tear down our well-being. We have to continue to try to break the cycle that tears down our self-esteem. We have to be vessels of hope in this community. They are looking to us. And saying to us, if only somebody from that First Baptist Church would invite me to their church. If only. They need what we have. They need us. You don't know what those people are carrying. You don't know what they need. You don't know what they are so desperately longing for in their hearts. They need us to be Jesus to them. Embrace generosity. Embrace the resources that God has given you and be generous with those resources. One way to love your neighbor is to give yourself to them. On those days when I am feeling that I come up short in comparison to everybody and everything on the face of the earth, I go give myself away. I go somewhere where I can say to somebody, God loves you. It may be at Smithfield Barbecue when somebody comes in and I buy their lunch instead of just standing there fretting, and I do it secretly. By the way, I'll be at Smithfield Barbecue about, no. Just seeing if you're listening. Embrace generosity and give freely. Once you become generous, you find an energy to change the world right where you are. Once you become generous, you find the energy to change the world right where you are. I don't know about you, but I find it a lot easier to be generous. I find it a lot more pleasing to be generous. I find it a lot more energizing to be generous than to keep on comparing myself and falling short. Jesus did not come so that we might fall short. Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. My friend Larry is right. Do right. Surround yourself with good people. From time to time, share a Tootsie Roll Pop. Thank you. Thank you for calling me to this task. Thank you for letting me hang out with you for a while. Thank you for being Jesus. Now let's go find some others. Be Jesus to them. Almighty God, for the goodness of life, for the blessings of this day, for the sacredness of a Tootsie Pop, I give you thanks. In these moments of response, help us, O Lord, to hear your voice and to do right with these good people. Through Christ our Lord, I pray. Amen.